Perizayin and Likutei Moran Tanina. We're actually in our Likutei Moran, so we're up to page 31, the left-hand column, almost two-thirds way down the column. We'll have a 1 or 2 minute review of just the topics that were discussed so far. Rabbeinu Zal began this Torah, and again, it's going to be very important as we go along. If anybody wants to follow this, it's important before we start to review the topics, because as we go on, we're going to complete the Torah, and then Rabbeinu Zal is going to start mentioning certain things which summarize all the different concepts that we had. It ties everything together. So if you're familiar with what we had till now, the summary is going to be something interesting. If not, it's going to be, you're not going to be able to appreciate it. Rabbeinu Zal started off talking about the topic of Rachmonis by leaders of Klal Yisrael, and how the Ikar Rachmonis is to save Bnei Yisrael from sins, and he explained why and how. Then Rabbeinu Zal spoke about the importance of leaving behind Talmidim and children. And Rabbeinu Zal explained how in some ways Talmidim and children are one and the same. In some ways this refers to two different levels, an upper level and a lower level, in which case the Ben is considered an upper level, the Talmid is considered a lower level. And Rabbeinu Zal also spoke about how any person who spends time with other people, bringing them close to religion, the more he transmits to other people, the more Hashem gives him as a bonus, makifin, knowledge, any knowledge that he doesn't understand or he's not zeichah to understand, Hashem puts that into his head. That which was originally outside of his head, encircling his head like a halo, a concept of a halo, that now enters his mind. And Rabbeinu Zal spoke about the danger of a chacham revealing everything to his students and not holding back certain things, because Rabbeinu Zal said the more he reveals, the more these makifin enter his own head. And there are certain makifin which a person is supposed to avoid. There are certain questions which a person is supposed to avoid completely, having those questions enter his mind, because those questions cannot be answered in this world. Therefore, there is a warning given to those who are going about this avodah of being makar of people, teaching people, to know that there are boundaries of what to reveal and what not to reveal. Then, and Rabbeinu Zal mentioned the term, the hasaga of ma chomis ma pishpesh, which referred to a very high level of knowledge, versus the level of maloi chol haretz kavodai, which referred to those who are on a much lower level. Rabbeinu Zal spoke about the importance of mixing the two together, seeing to it that the Ben should not be only a Ben, or the Talmud should not be only a Talmud, but the Ben should have a little bit of Talmud in him, and the Talmud should have a little of Ben in him, so that there can be Yira. Rabbeinu Zal showed how Yira is only when there exists two, and either one of these alone is a concept of one. If a person has too much Bechinas Ben, or too much Bechinas Talmud, he eliminates himself, Chas V'Shalom, or he eliminates Hashem. Therefore, there has to be a little bit of both, so as to be able to allow for a concept of Yiras Hashem to be chal, to take effect. And then we went into last week's topic, which was where Rabbeinu Zal said that through a person being zeicha to join together, to bring together this Bechina of Ben and the Bechina of Talmud, that's how a person is zeicha at the time of eating to be able to receive a he'oras harotzon, which means a very, very high level of light coming from Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal went into it, Rabbeinu Zal hinted to this based on a pasuk of the Ata Noisein Lahem Esachlam Be'itoi, you Hashem give the Jews their food, what they eat, Be'itoi, at its time. And this word Be'itoi is also referenced in the pasuk that refers to receiving very high level of wisdom from Hashem, where the pasuk says, Ko'eis Yi Omar Liyakov Yisrael Ma Po'al Keil. There's going to come a time like the current time, Ko'eis, like the current time, when it'll be said about the Jews that the Malachim are going to come to ask the Jews, what is Hashem doing? So we see the word ace is used in both places, referring to this special time, a special time of eating, a special time when a person could receive this He'oras HaRatzayim. And then we went into the paragraph, the left-hand column on page 31, where Rabbeinu Zal begins with the words that the fact that we find that this He'oras HaRatzayim comes specifically at the time of Achila, Rabbeinu Zal said you should know that any person who wants to have Parnosa has to have the attribute of Malchus. Because where does Parnosa come from? Which attribute of Hashem is the one that provides Parnosa? It's this Midah called Malchus. And this was proven based on a dream that Daniel had, that Nebuchadnezzar had, which Daniel interpreted. And in the dream, there was a tree which had every type of food in existence on it. The Mozain Lecholabei, it had every type of food for every type of living being in this world to exist on. And Daniel, in interpreting the dream, said that the tree refers to the Melech. The Melech, the king, is the one who's the source of all Mozain, all Shefa that hits the world, that comes to people in the world. And we spoke about this a little last week. We're going to talk a little bit about it more in this year. And Rabbi Nizal showed another example of this, how whenever a couple get married, the correct way for things to be conducted is where the husband is the breadwinner. He's the one who provides parnasa. Therefore, we find that as soon as a couple get married, the husband is immediately given a degree of malchus. The Torah extends to him a bechina of malchus. The pasuk says, "Vehu yimshel boch," he will rule over the wife. The reason for this memshala is so that he should be in a position to provide parnasa, to fulfill the requirements of the ksuba, which are va'ano eflach ve'ezayin, as we learned last week. Then Rabbi Nizal mentioned the fact that where does the attribute of Malchus receive from? In other words, when we say that by Hashem, it's the Malchus of Hashem that doles out Shefa and Parnosa to the world, where does the Malchus receive from? Rabbi Nizal said that the Malchus receives from the Yodayim Shebiyam HaChochma. The Yodayim Shebiyam HaChochma. The hands that exist in the ocean of knowledge. And Rabbi Nizal referred to this term coming from a pasuk in Tehillim, where David HaMelech uses the term Ze Hayom Godol Urechav Yodayim. The ocean is very wide, and it's wider and broader than the expanse, the reach of one's hands. And Rabbi Nizal says that this Yodayim Shebiyam HaChochma refers, the Yam HaChochma refers to the knowledge that a Rebbe conveys to his Talmidim, any knowledge being transmitted. The Yodayim within the knowledge refers to the remozim. Sometimes a person makes hand signals. It's a way of hinting something to a person, although he can't come out clearly and say it. By a motion of the hand, sometimes one who understands knows the type of signal that's being given. There's a story about this in the Gemara with Rabbi Shua ben Hananya, how there was a whole contest between him and a certain apikleris, a min, in front of a king, and the whole trick was to see who knew how to interpret the hand signals the right way, because this concept of hand signals refers to a high level of chachma, the remozim of chachma. And this is pretty much where we had left off last week. We're going to continue from where Rabbi Nizal says, "Umeelu hayodayim mekabel bechinas hamalchus haparnosa." It's the middle of a line, about 10-15 lines up from the bottom, right under where it says Tehillim Kuf Dalid. Rabbi Nizal says now, "Umeelu hayodayim mekabel bechinas hamalchus es haparnosa." It's from these hands that the Malchus receives its parnosa. Now note for openers, Rabbi Nizal is going to say at the end of this Torah on Likutei Moran that this chapter of Likutei Moran encompasses all the 10 spheres, all the 10 attributes from Hashem. So that when we say in simple terms here that the Malchus receives from the Yodayim, this means that we know that at times the lower 4 spheres, the lowest most 4 spheres, Netzach, Hoid, Yesod, and Malchus, are referred to as one unit, which can be referred to as the Malchus. The term Malchus at times refers to that whole lower section of the spheres. Why? We once mentioned there's a remez in the Sifrei Kabbalah, in that you'll find that we know that the name of Hashem that refers to Malchus is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Odon means ruler. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud means the ruler, the Melech. So that relates to Malchus itself. You'll note that the Roshei Tevois of Netzach Hoid Yesoid Nun Hei Yud is again Bigimatria Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, showing that those 3 spheres also, which feed into the Malchus, many times are subservient in a sense. They're Nichlal in this picture called Malchus. So that Rabbi Nizal is saying here that the Malchus receives from the Odayim. Now it's logical, this refers to that whole unit, the lower 4 spheres, the lowest most 4 spheres, referring from the receiving from the section above them, which is called the Yodayim. Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, that section is referred to as Yodayim. Basically, Chesed and Gevura refer to the right hand and left hand. Tiferes is a combination of the two. So this is the Malchus receiving from the Yodayim. But Rabbi Nizal is going to explain it based on Psukim. That's in terms of Kabbalah, what's going on here. Rabbi Nizal says now, Umeil Hayudayim Mekabel Bechinas Hamalchus Es HaParnosa. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, Poiseach Es Yodecho Umasbia Lachol Chai Rotzon. Hashem opens up his hands, and he provides the all living beings whatever they need. This is assumed to mean whatever they need. The term rotzayin specifically, though, means desire, willpower. And note, Rav Nosson Zal says in Likutei Halachos that the fact is, if a Jew wants to know in one word what to daven for, what's the most important thing to daven for? People are always asking that question. What items are there that are kolel everything? The answer is very simple. There's a Mishnah in Perkei Avos where the Mishnah says, Ein davar oimed b'fnei harotzayin. There's nothing in the world that can stand in the way of willpower. Meaning, the term tzaddik, the term talmid chacham, the term onov, all the best characteristics and attributes that we could say about a person, what's blocking a person from getting to that level, from getting to the level of anovo, or getting rid of kas, or all the different things that a person would want to achieve in this world? Rav Nosson Zal says what's blocking the person is simply a lack of willpower. He doesn't want to. He doesn't really want to become a tzaddik. He doesn't really want to become a talmud chacham. He doesn't really want to get rid of the kas. Because if he really, really wanted to, he would. The Gemara says there's nothing that stands in the way of willpower. So that if the willpower were built up to 100%, there's no question at all that a person would achieve whatever he wants. Elamai, whatever he's lacking in, is a reflection of a lack of rotzayin. And Rav Nosson Zal says this is why you'll note, the Gemara in Bracha says, what's so spectacular about this tefillah of Ashrei, that we say that any person who says Ashrei three times a day is guaranteed to be Ben Olam Haba? The Gemara says there are two spectacular things about it. Number one, it has one pasuk in it for every single letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And number two, it has in it the sentence, Poiseach Es Yodecho Masbia Lachol Chai Rotzayin. Big deal. Meaning it has a sentence about parnosa, about Hashem providing a person with what he needs. Big deal. What's so big about that? I could think of better things to daven for, more spiritual things to daven for than parnosa. The answer is that in truth, this sentence has in it much more than parnosa. We say to Hashem, Poseach Sedecha, open your hands, umasbia, and provide lechol chai, to every living being, Ratzayin. Provide us with a ratzayin. Provide us with a desire to serve you. A desire to serve you the right way. A desire to be religious. A desire to be tzaddik, lamdon, onov, all the different things that we're supposed to be. And that's the phenomenal thing. That's what's so outstanding about this. And this is the point that Rabbeinu Zal is going to underline soon, because we spoke earlier about this term he'oras haratzayin, that these two go together. Parnasa, receiving parnasa from Hashem, the parnasa is interlaced with this item called He'oras HaRotzayin. It's at the time of Achila, at the time that a person receives Parnosa, that's a time when he's capable of receiving this Rotzayin also, this He'oras HaRotzayin. Where does it come? It comes from this Poiseach Es Yodecho. We explained in Teres Samach Vav, if you recall, that in order for there to be any Shefa in this world whatsoever, Shefa, any Hoylodah, any birth of anything, cannot be brought about via one. It can only be brought about via two, via a yichud of zachar or nekeva. Just like to bring a living child into this world, you have to have a father and a mother, parents. There has to be a yichud of zachar and nekeva. So too, the Zohar HaKadosh says that in order for there to be any hayloda of shefa, there must be a yichud of zachar and nekeva. And therefore, we explained in Torah Tess in Likutei Moran, in the Torah Tess in Likutei Moran, the first portion. If you recall, we quoted the pasuk in the Zohar HaKadosh. Sailu l'roichev ba'aravos. Sailu means give praise l'roichev to the one who rides ba'aravos in the heavens. And the Zohar HaKadosh shows how the word roichev refers to Kodesh Baruch Hu. The word aravos refers to the Shechina. That through our praising Hashem, we effect a yichud between Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Shechina. That's the whole concept of tefillah being the item that brings forth shefa. It's because tefillah affects a yichud. Rabbeinu Zal in Teres Samach Vov in Likutei Moran in chapter 66 of Likutei Moran in the first part, first chelik, there Rabbeinu Zal explained that the Iker Hailoda of Shefa is brought about via a yichud of Hashem's most outstanding name. The most basic name of Hashem is Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is written as Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's pronounced as though it were written Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. When we put together those two names, Yud Kei Vav Kei and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, when we interlace them, we spell it as Yud Aleph Hey Dalid Vov Nun and then Hey Yud. When we interlace it in that way, that combination, as is written in some Siddurim, they show you a picture of this, that's what really, really brings forth Shefa. Because you'll note the word Meichel, which is the whole concept, that word encompasses all of Shefa. The word Meichel is Bigematria, this Yichud, this Shiluv, as it's called, this interlacing of Yud Kei Vav Kei and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which is Bigematria 91. So Rabbeinu Zal showed there how does that tie into this pasuk Poiseach es yodecho umasbi alachol chay rotzoim? We say that in general, in this world, we refer generally to the lower seven attributes of Hashem. They are the ones that provide shefa for this world, because everything in this world is basically encompassed by the number seven. 7 days in a week, 7 years in a shemitah, etc. Within the seven lower attributes of Hashem, how do they interact? They serve as a unit of six plus one. The six, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, are referred to as one unit, called Zohar, basically. The seventh, the Malchus, is referred to as the Nekeva. This is called the Yichud of Vav and Hey. The Vav refers to these six spheroids of Chesed through Yesod. The Hey refers to the Malchus. Rabbeinu Zal says that this is what's hinted to in the sentence Poiseach es yodecho, open up your hands. Your yodecho means your hands. Yodecho also means your yuds. In this combination of yud aleph, hey dalid, vav nun, and hey yud, as we pictured it, you'll note that on the outside you have two yuds. The opening letter there is the Yud of Yud Kei Vav Kei. The closing letter is the last Yud of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. In the middle, you have six letters. Poiseach es yodecho, Hashem opens up the two yuds on the outside, and with what's contained in the middle, with the six letters in the middle, they are mashpia, they shine into, they are the zohar. The zohar is the one that gives forth, that provides. They are mashpia lechol chai rotzain, into the malchus. What is the malchus? Who is the symbol of malchus? Rachel. Rachel Imenu, in the Sifrei Kabbalah, there are two opinions of how the Merkava of Hashem is laid out. One opinion is that the four faces on the Merkava are Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and David HaMelech. There is another opinion that's brought in the Sifrei Kabbalah that the fourth face is Rachel Imenu, that she's the one who represents the malchus. She's the nukva, the female. From her came forth Yosef HaTzadik, who is the symbol of malchus, the melech among the 12 tribes, the true Melech, the one who was supposed to be the Iker Malchus, the Iker one to come forth from Yaakov Avinu. And from her will come forth the mother of Moshiach, don't forget. So that you'll notice that the first letters of Lechol Chai Rotzain make up the word Rochel. So that Poiseach Es Yodecho, we open up the yuds. In the middle we have the six letters corresponding to the six spheroids of Chesed through Yisoid, which are Mazbia, which fill Lechol Chai Rotzoin. They fill that which is represented by this term, Lechol Chai Rotzoin, which is the Malchus. So now Rabbeinu Zal says, Hainu Sheha Parnoso Nemsheches Mibechinas Hayodayim. The Parnoso comes from between the Yodayim, these two hands. Vizehu umasbia lechol chai rotzoin. Hashem gives every living being rotzoin. Bechinas heoras harotzoin shemizgala b'toich haparnoso. This refers to what we said in the beginning of this paragraph. This refers to this shine of rotzoin, this super high level of light that comes down to each and every single yid at the time that he's eating. Rabbein Azal says, "Bebechinas va'aton eisalam esachlam beitoy." As we said earlier, that in the pasuk va'aton eisalam esachlam beitoy, Hashem gives people what they have to eat beitoy at its time. The word beitoy there corresponds to the koes ye'omar liyakov liyisrael ma poal kel, referring to this very high level of light that comes to a person at the time of eating. Rabbein Azal explains now, ki machmas shehamalchus mekabel haparnoso miyodayim elu sheyesh b'yamachochma, because of the fact that this malchus receives its nourishment from these hands which exist within the sea of knowledge. And what do these hands represent? The secrets of the knowledge, that which can't be, it's too high to be spoken with the mouth, it can only be hinted to by the hands. We quoted the pasuk in Mishlei, notisi yodi ve'ein makshiv, I have motioned with my hand for the Jews to come close. That's a much higher level, the secrets of Torah, the ramazim of Torah. Rabbein Azal says, because of the fact that the Malchus receives its parnosa from this very high level called the Yodayim Shebiyam HaChochma, Al Kain Mizgaleshom B'Saycho Achilo V'HaParnosa He'oras HaMakifin. That's why, specifically at the time of eating, or at the time when a person receives parnosa, that's a time when he can also receive this He'oras HaMakifin. Because where does this parnosa come from? This very high level. Now, where do we see another support for this concept? From a statement in the Gemara that we quoted many times, showing where does parnosa come from? No. How does that refer to this very high level? The answer is exactly. The Gemara says, "Bone chaye umezayne, lav bischusa tal yemelsa, ela b'mazla tal yemelsa." That there are three things: children, parnosa, children, life, and parnosa, mezayne, which are not toli in zchus, they're toli in mazla. And the Zohar Kodesh explains that mazla refers to keser, the crown of Hashem. We've had a whole shiurim on that topic, that mazla is begematria three times yud kei vav kei, standing for the three upper spheroids that are nichlal in the keser, and other proofs that we gave to show how by parnosa it says hashleich al Hashem yehavcha, place upon Hashem your needs, v'hu yechalka lecha, and He will provide for you. Not I will provide. V'hu is loshen nistor, hidden, referring to the keser. Note, this is another remez, that you should know that the mokor of parnosa, the mokor of this shefa, is in the keser. It's in the rotzayin, in this raiva deraivin, in this super high level of kedusha. And therefore you should know that at a time when you're receiving this parnosa, which is, for example, at a time of eating, when your body is actually receiving the net results of a parnosa, of a day's work, is to earn money, to be able to buy food and be able to eat from it, at the time of eating or at the time of receiving parnosa, a person can draw sprinklings from this very, very high level of kedusha, which is the makor of this parnosa.
When you mentioned the take the first letter of each of the last letter, take the two yudin.
Right.
And these are the things that receive the shefa, the six letters in between are what give forth the shefa.
They're what give forth the shefa. So that the shefa is coming forth from between the Yodayim. You understand? Poseach HaSedecha, if we could picture Kaviyachal Hashem opening His hands, what's in the middle of His hands? The six spheroids. What's in the middle encompasses the six spheroids, which are Mashpia to the Malchus.
Does the Yud represent Mazel? The Yud,
excuse me?
The first Yud doesn't represent Keser?
I don't know. Probably.
Because then it seems that it's like now you're saying that all the Sheva comes from Mazel, right, and Keser, but we're going to that Kiddush, so it comes from the letters in between.
Right.
Excluding
the the answer is it depends on everything is relative. If you recall, when we mentioned this item, we said that within the scope of the seven lower spheroids, the mashpia is the upper six, which are mashpia unto the seventh. But that's referring to that as a unit. Whereas in fact, when we refer to how things really operate, this item is coming from way, way above. It's different ways of representing the same thing. It's not
so
a contradiction. 100%. It's way above the
Yoda.
Yes.
Maslow is Zodiac.
No, the term Maslow in this case does not refer. Mazel means Zodiac. In this case specifically, the Zohar HaKadosh says that Maslow doesn't whatsoever mean the Zodiac. It refers to this level called Keser, which is the high, one of the highest levels of Kedusha.
And it's Rotson.
exactly. Desire, which we spoke about earlier, which is considered one of the highest levels of Kedusha. Those two terms can be used interchangeably in this context, Ratzon and Keser.
What means like even
yes. In other words, we're going to have much more explanation of that. But Rabbeinu Zal says, excuse me, it's hard to understand. I'll prove it to you from a Gemara. Right. I'll prove it to you. We mentioned earlier that there exists two levels of knowledge. There's a level of knowledge which you can speak about. That's a lower level knowledge. There's a level knowledge which is so deep that you're not permitted to speak about it. Just as when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven and he started asking certain questions, Hashem's reply to him was, Shtoik, be silent, kachol v'machshav tchila. When a person is eating, there's a halacha that's brought in the Gemara in Shulchan Aruch, Ein Masichin Basuda, that a Jew is not permitted to speak at the time of eating. Why? The Gemara says, Shemayakdim Kone Leveshet, because we're afraid that if he'll talk, could be accidentally, while he's talking, the epiglottis will close or be open, it'll be in an incorrect position, and the food will go, instead of going down the food pipe, the esophagus, it'll go accidentally down the trachea, down the windpipe, and it'll choke him, chas v'shalom. Rabbein Azal explains that this concept of ein masich in basuda, not to talk during eating, this hints to us that at the time of eating there is this very high level of knowledge which is referred to, which is hinted to as silence, which comes to a person at the time of eating, most definitely. And we're going to have much more about it coming up now.
I understand it with Isha Tango. Creative work.
Correct. 100%. Ideas, you're saying.
Yeah,
the answer is true. And that's coming from this very high level source. Okay, let's continue. Rabbeinu Zal explains, ki hamakifin meirim biyam hachochma shemegala hachocham, because these makifin, which represent this keser, they shine into this sea of knowledge, this ocean of knowledge that the chocham does transmit to his students. He doesn't transmit literally the makifin; he transmits that which receives from the makifin. Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'zeh b'chinas." This is what's hinted to in a pasuk in Tehillim, where the pasuk says, "Zeh hayom gadol urechav yodayim." This ocean is very, very great. Urechav yodayim, wider than the reach of the hands. Livyoson zeh yotzarto lesachik boy. You, Hashem, have created this livyoson, the leviathan, this very, very great fish, lesachik boy, to swim in it, to move around in it. Rabbeinu Zal says, Ze bechinas malchus. Levioson, ze bechinas malchus. The levioson represents malchus. Kamo Yishikosov, there's a pasuk in Yeshaya Hanavi where Hashem says, there's going to come a time when I'm going to smash the levioson nochosh, bariach, and I'm going to smash the levioson nochosh, akalasoim. And Rashi HaKadosh says over there that the word Leviosan there refers to kingdoms, to the kingdom of Mitzrayim, to the kingdom of Asher. Leviosan is a very, very great fish. It's the ruler of all the fish. So Rashi HaKadosh in Yeshaya explains that the word Leviosan is being used to refer to kings of nations of the Goyim, which Hashem is going to smite at this future date. Now note, Rebbe Zal once pointed out a chiddush. In here, it's not quoted. Whereas, if you know the Sifrei Kabbalah, you know the Sifrei Kabbalah tell you clearly that the word Leviosan is exactly bigimatria, the word Malchus. Exactly, the word Leviosan is 496, which is bigimatria, exactly the word Malchus. So we see that this item Leviosan represents Malchus, kingdom. Rabbeinu Zal explains, now let's look at what the pasuk says in Tehillim. Leviosan ze yotzarto, you Hashem have created the Leviosan, the Malchus, lesachek boy. What does lesachek boy refer to? Rabbeinu Zal says, v'zehu lesachek boy b'chinas shchokim. There is a place, the Gemara in Chagiga lists off different names of the heavens, and the Gemara says one of the heavens is called shchokim. one of the names that's given to heaven in the Torah is Shchokim. Why? The Gemara says, Sheshom Shechakim Mon. That's where they grind up the mon, the parnosa, the shefa for people in this world. Rabbi Nezal says, Lesachek boy b'china shchokim. The word Lesachek corresponds to the concept of shchokim, with which the Gemara says, Sheshom Shechakim Mon, the Hainu Parnosa. That's a concept of Parnosa. Hainu Sheha Malchus. What does this mean? That the Malchus, which is Bechinas Leviason, which is hinted to by the term Leviason, Mekabel HaParnosa, receives Parnosa, Min HaYodayim Sheyesh B'yam HaChochma, we said, Ze HaYom Godol Urechav Yodayim. Note, the Pasuk references a Yam with Yodayim in it, Leviason Ze Yasarto L'Sachik Boy, and the Leviason receives from that, and it performs the function of L'Sachik Boy, grinding up Mozoin and Parnosa. Rabbi Nezal says, Shezeu b'china zeh hayom godol rechav yodayim kanal, period, which we explained earlier. Ugeshemagia ha-parnosa la-ha-malchus, and when a parnosa arrives at the malchus from the yodayim sheyesh b'yam ha-chochma, shom hi nishchekes v'nechteshes, there the parnosa is ground up, litein lechol echod v'echod chelek ha-parnosa kifima sheroi loy, to divvy up to each and every single person whatever portion of the pie he's supposed to get. That's what it means. This term lesachik boy means like to cut up, to divvy up the portions properly, to give each person exactly what they're supposed to get, not more, not less. V'zehu lesachik boy b'china shchokin shesham shechakin mon. Ki haparnoso shehi bechinas mon, the parnoso, which is a concept of mon. Mon is a nickname given to parnoso, that Hashem, the highest level of parnoso that Hashem ever gave the Jewish people. Nishchekes v'nechteshes etzel bechinas hamalchus. The parnoso is cut up and ground up within the malchus. Shehi bechinas levioson, which is the term levioson. Mekabel haparnoso mebechinas ze hayom godol rechav yodayim. This malchus, which receives its parnosa from this concept of Zeh Hayom Godol Rechav Yodayim, this Yodayim Shebiyam HaChochma, the Hainum and Hayodayim Sheyesh Biyam HaChochma, Shehem Bechinas Remozin Kanal. What did you want to ask?
I meant one comment. It says in Breslov that Shor was to be happy. Skok means
happiness.
Happiness.
Right. True. Definitely. It's brought in Sforum specifically that at the time of eating, this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, and especially in Sifrei Kabbalah, that at the time of eating specifically, at the time of eating, and especially when a person says Birkas HaMazon, the main thing to keep in mind is to be in a happy frame of mind. Because the Gemara says that the Shechina never rests on a person, Ela Mitoch Simcha, unless he's in a frame of mind of Simcha. If we say that the time of eating is a time of this Makifin, super high level of Nevuah, of Kedusha, then it's understood the only way you can take it upon yourself is if you're in this happy frame of mind. Definitely. Sad frame of mind. Why? Parnosa comes from Mazla, from Keser. Another nickname for Keser is Simcha, because there's a pasuk that says, V'simchas oilam al roisham. They carry the Simcha upon their heads. What do you wear on your head? A crown. Simcha is a nickname for this crown. Simcha is referred to as this mid of Keser, the highest level of Kedusha.
Wasn't there some sadi that said the reason why he became such a famous sadi was because he benched Simcha?
Possibly, I don't remember. Possibly.
I don't think it was Simcha.
At the time of benching, possible.
We know that the Rabbi Nezal, he used to fast quite a bit.
Right.
If that's the case, wasn't he in a sense cutting himself off from this greatest level of influx from Hashem?
Yes. However, Rabbi Nezal explains, we've covered a few chapters in Gemara where Rabbi Nezal explains what a person gets through tainus. So that again, there are many ways of receiving light from Hashem. Many different avenues, many different procedures to use. Rabbi Nezal did say very clearly that later on in life, he achieved a level of wisdom that he understood much, much better ways than fasting for receiving light. And this is a perfect example of it. This Torah was said about 2-3 years before Rabbi Nezal's passing, where at that point in time, obviously, he had been musing in such a high level an understanding of what happens when a Jew eats. And this is why the Gemara in Tainus says in such a serious way that there's a death penalty for a Talmud Chacham who fasts. Because of the fact, this is one of the reasons, one of the obvious reasons. Because a Talmud Chacham is one who's more susceptible, more easily, more available for this super Horus HaRatzayim. Therefore, there's a warning extended to him not to fast. However, in certain cases, as far as tshuva and certain other items, fasting is recommended. But we say that Rabbeinu Zal established the rule for us, those who are willing to follow the teachings of Rabbeinu Zal, fasting is prohibited completely, excluding the fast days which were instituted by the Chachamim. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Vezehu kulam eilecho yisaberun loses ochlam bitoy." This is the continuation of that pasuk. Levioson ze yotzarta lasachei boy. The next pasuk says, "Kulam eilecho yisaberun." All Jews have their eyes turned to Hashem. They yearn to Hashem. Loses ochlam bitoy, to provide them with their nourishment at the time that it's needed. Rabbeinu Zal explains now. Ki hakoil mistaklin umitzapin ala parnoso. All Jews look and yearn and hope for parnoso. V'hamalchus. Now the question is, we mentioned many times that you can never have an isarusa de la ela without an isarusa de la sato. That the general rule in heaven is that the mashpia, the zohar, never gives until the nekeva makes the request. The nekeva has to first issue a request, and then the Zohar provides whatever is needed to fill that request. So too by a husband and wife we have this concept that the wife is the one who hints to the husband what her needs are. And in that manner she tells him, she conveys to him the message. So Rabbeinu Zal says here that we know that the rule is that there's no, generally the only exception to this is Pesach, the first night of Pesach, where that was an unusual case, where the Jews were on such a low level of tumah, where if Hashem would have waited for any concept of Sarusa de l'Sato, it would have been the end. That's a case where Hashem dealt Shalaika Seder in a completely unusual, unsequenced manner, and that's the whole reason why the procedure on the first night of Pesach is called, on the Seder nights, is called the Seder, to act as a tikkun for that Shalaika Seder that took place then. But the normal Seder is that there has to be Sarusa L'Sata for Sarusa Leila. So the question is here, if the Malchus is the one that's receiving from these upper spheroids, what does the Malchus do to initiate, to show a willingness to receive, to show a push from its side that causes this whole chain reaction whereby those above it are mashpia into it? That's what Rabbeinu Zal is going to explain now. Rabbeinu Zal says, Ki akol mistaklon tzapla parnoso, all yidn look and yearn for parnoso, v'hamalchus malaket u'mekabetz kol elu habitchoinois shel kol boi oylam. And the malchus, this attribute called malchus, a nickname of which is the Shechina gathers together all of these yearnings, all of these feelings of yearning of all the different Jews, mashikula mitzapim umistaklin al parnosa, that all the Jews are hoping and yearning and pleading and reaching out for parnosa, ve'im elu habitchoinos oile hamalchus, it's these bitchoinos, these feelings of yearning that fuel the malchus and allow it to ascend, to lift up. In other words, it's not as if the malchus is stationary and the other spheroids are mashpia into it. The malchus has to move up towards these other spheroids to initiate this whole process. What fuels the malchus and allowing it to move up? It's these bitchoinos, these yearnings of all the Jews turning to Hashem for parnasa. That's what picks up the malchus. That's what lifts up the malchus. V'me'elu ha-bitchoinos, and it's with these bitchainois and these ritzainois that the malchus rises up and is able to receive parnosa from these yodayim. We're talking about covering a certain distance. If we picture the malchus as being the feet have to receive from the hands. How do you do that? The answer is the feet have to rise up to the hands. The malchus has to move up to the hands in order to be able to receive this parnosa. Now, what's an example of this that takes place in our weekly Seder of Avodah? Kiddush on Shabbos, Kiddush on Friday night. Wine, Rav Nosson Zal explains in Chayshe Mishpot, in Likutei Halachos in Chayshe Mishpot, in one place, he has about a 15-page spectacular display of fireworks, as we would say, in explaining the whole secret of what takes place at Kiddush on Friday night, based on the Kisvei Arizal. And in a word, the Kais Yayin represents Malchus. It's a pasuk in Megillah. V'yein Malchus Rav Kiyad HaMelech. That wine reflects Malchus. Yayin is Bigamatria 70, which stands for the Malchus. There are many proofs for this. So the wine represents the Malchus, which has to be lifted up by the hands, by these Yodayim Sheyesh Bama Chochma, in order to be able to receive Parnosa. That's the manner we say that Shabbos is the one that's Mashpia to all 6 days of the week. Shabbos is the Mokar HaParnosa. Therefore, on Shabbos, this procedure of the Malchus rising up and receiving from the Yodayim Sheyesh Bama Chochma, that takes place when a person is making Kiddush on Friday night.
Wedding ceremony, you say to the
word Allah, Iran, right, Allah, 100%, and Shvach Iran, and Sichas Iran, again, because she represents the Malchus. At the chuppah. That's the type of singing. In other words, Rabbi Nizal mentions that in many gurim that they used to sing in those days, by nature you found that it came out to form this type of word. Okay, Rabbi Nizal says now, V'sehu lo seis ochlam be'itoi. This is why the pasuk says to provide them with their parnosa at its time. Rabbi Nizal says be'itoi daiko. That word be'itoi is very, very significant here. Bechinas he'oras haratzain. That word be'itoi represents this very high level of light. This ko'es ye'omar li'akav li'Yisrael ma po'al keil that we spoke about. Bechinas he'oras haratzain shemizgal b'tech ha'parnosa. This refers to this he'oras haratzain which is revealed at the time. Within the Parnasa, Shehu Bechinas Koeis Yomar Liyakov Liyisrael Ma'apoal Keil Bechinas Vi'aton Oisem Amesochlam Beitoi Bechinas Poiseach Es Yodecho Masbiel Lachol Chai Rotzayin. Rabbi Nizal is tying together all of these psukim that we referenced till now. You note the common denominator between them is this word Eis, this Beitoi, this Koeis Yomar Liyakov Liyisrael Ma'apoal Keil Vi'aton Oisem Amesochlam Beitoi, which is mentioned in Tehillim in two places, both by Poseach Es Yadecha, and in the other place where we spoke about Livyoson Ze Yotzarto L'Sachi Boi, and there again it says, Kulom Eilecho Yisaberun Loseis Ochlam Be'itoi. We constantly find remes of this word Be'itoi, by Parnosa, being marames to this super Horus HaRotzayin that comes at the time of Parnosa, or at the time of Achila. Right? What's the sentence right in front of it? Right in front of Poseach Es Yadecha, if you don't remember, Ashrei goes in sequence of Aleph Beis. No. Einei choy leilecho yisaberu, v'aton eisem esachlam, be'itoi Poseach Es Yadecha mezmeh. Be'itoi Poseach Es Yadecha. Note, if we put the period, we start the sentence with the word be'itoi Poseach Es Yadecha, that the Eis Rotzayin is at the time of Poseach Es Yadecha. V'zehu, Rabbi Nizal says, this is also hinted to in another Pasuk in Tehillim. There's a pasuk in Tehillim where Hashem says that you should know, don't think that it's the physical power of the Yidden that's going to destroy the Goyim, because ki yemincha uzeroyacha, ki yemincha uzeroyacha, v'or ponecha ki retzisam. It's kaviyochol, the right and left hand of Hashem, and the light of the face of Hashem, ki retzisam, which shows Hashem's willingness to fight for the Jews, to show love for the Jews, and that's what's going to win their battles for them. Rabbi Nizal says, note, in this pasuk you have tied together the concept of He'oras HaRotzayin and the union of the Yodayim. Rabbi Nizal says, Yemincho Zroyacho, the right hand, and the left hand, Zebechinas HaYodayim Hanal. That refers to these hands that we spoke about earlier in this Torah. Shebohem Mizgale HaOras HaMakifin. In these hands is revealed this high level of wisdom that's called the light of these makifin. Shehu bechinas he'oras harotzayin. Another term for that is horas harotzayin. V'zehu v'oyer ponecho ki ritzisam. This is also the term oyer haponim, or ki ritzisam is miloshin rotzayin. Rashi HaKadosh says over there, ki ritzisam, loshin rotzayin. Rabbi Nizal says, ki hamakifim heim oyer haponim. These makifin actually represent the light of the face of Hashem, kaviyachol, a very, very high level light. V'zeh ki ritzisam. They represent, this light of the face of Hashem represents where Hashem shines into a person, this the highest level of Kedusha called Ratzin, this infinite desire of wanting to come close to Hashem, this uncontained, unbounded desire of wanting to come close to Hashem. Vizehu, Rabbein Azal says, this is what's also hinted to in a pasuk in Koheles, where the pasuk says, Ashrecha eretz shemalkech ben chayrin. Fortunate is the land whose king is a free man, v'sarayich bo'es yoychelu, and whose leaders eat on time. Whose leaders eat on time. Now, the Zohar HaKadosh speaks a lot about this pasuk, what this is referring to, the concept of chayrus to the melech. Rabbein Azal explains here, Cheirus zevachinas yoyvel. Freedom, note, the word that was used here was Ashrecha eretz shemalkech ben chayrin. Fortunate is the land whose king is a free man. This term, freedom, is synonymous with yoyvel. Yoyvel represents the 50th year when all slaves go free, all Jewish slaves go free. It's called a shnas hacheirus, a year of freedom. Rabbi Nizal says, Cheirus ze bechinas yoyvel. Freedom is a concept of yoyvel, shehu bechinas klolius ben v'talmid, which is a concept of bringing together the son and the student. Why? Rabbi Nizal explains, ki yoyvel hu oisiois v'chol bonayich limudei Hashem. The word yoyvel makes up the first letters of the pasuk, v'chol bonayich limudei Hashem. All of your children are students of Hashem's Torah. Note, it includes the concept of ben, bonayich, and limudei Hashem is the meaning of Talmud. Talmud is miloshon limud, this concept of limud. So the word yoyvel actually encompasses both a combination of ben v'talmud, the upper level and the lower level. Dahainu klolius ben v'talmud, ki bonayich ze ben, limudei Hashem him talmidim. Umiklolius ben v'talmid, and by bringing together the ben and talmid, shehu bechinas yoyvel, which is this concept of yoyvel, bechinas cherus, this concept of freedom, misho mekabel hamalchus haparnoso kanal. That's where the malchus receives its parnoso from. Now, how does this tie into the Adayin? What is this yoyvel? Which sphere are we talking about here? Bina. Bina is always called the concept of the 50th. The 50 Chamishim Sharei Bina that's mentioned in the Gemara in many places and other places. The concept of Chamishim Sharei Bina, which is the word Yoivla. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the Aramaic term Yoivla, Yud, Vav, Beis, Lamed, Aleph, with the Kolel is Bigamatria of 50, exactly. Showing that this union of Yoivel is an union of 50, which is Bina. Now we're talking about where do the hands receive from? Where does the Chesed Gvura Tiferes receive from? It receives from that which is above it, which is the Bina. The closest sphere to it is Bina, which is Yoivla, which is the Klolius of Ben V'talmid. That's where these two are merged together, this upper level and lower level. Just as we once showed in the word Sukkah. Sukkah represents Bina, Yimud HaMesacheches HaBenohon. In Sukkah, you have combined Samach Hei on the outside, which is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which is the Bechin of Talmud. On the inside, you have Chof Vav, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is the Bechin of Ben. The higher level and lower level, which are taken in and encompassed within the Sukkah, which is the Bina. The Bina, which includes in it both levels, the top and the bottom. So Rabbein Azal says now, Mishom mekabel hamalchus haparnosa kanal. V'zehu, this is what the pasuk means when it says, Ashrecho eretz shemalkech ben chayrin. This means, Shemalchus mekabel haparnosa mebechinas cheirus. This means, fortunate are the Yidden when the Malchus is receiving its parnosa from this level called cheirus, yoivel, which is Bina. Kanal. V'zehu v'sorayich bo'eis yoychelu. Bo'eis zebechinas hizgalas harotzoin. The term eis, we said before, is a nin of hizgalas harotzoin. Ko'eis yamar liyakav liyisraim apu'al keil. Shem hizgala b'sha'asu achila, which reveals itself, which manifests itself at the time of achila. Bechinas ke'eis yamar kanal. V'zehu, Rabbi Nizal says, now we understand the secret behind a halacha in the Gemara, where the Gemara says in Tainus, Ein masichin besuda, that a Jew is not permitted to talk, you're not supposed to talk while you're eating. We understand the physical reason for it. What's the spiritual secret hidden in that? Ki oz b'shas suda meir he'oras haratzin. At the time that a Jew is eating, it's a time when there is a very, very high level of light that's coming down to the person. Shehu b'chinas he'oras ha-makifin, which is this concept of a shine of makifin. Sheheim b'chinas shtika. They are represented by this concept of being quiet, this silence which represents the keser, this loy dumia sehila. Elyonavi was told that how is he going to know when Hashem, when the presence of the highest light of Hashem is with him? The pasuk says, loy borash Hashem. Hashem is not found in big noise. Hashem is found in complete silence. That's why, again, at the highest point in the tefillah, which is the Shemoneh Esrei, the mitzvah there, bedafka, is complete silence. That nobody around you should be able to hear what you're saying, and according to the Zohar Kodesh, even you yourself should not hear what you're saying. Because this item, lachash, again, rises up to the keser. The word lachash, which means silence, is bigematria 13 times yudkei vavkei, referring to the yud gimel midei shel rachmim, which come from this keser, from the dikna, from the beard, the whiteness, this super high level of kedusha. Bechinas shtoi kachol v'machshava. This concept of be quiet, through silence, a person rises up to this level of machshava. Now, Rav Nachman Shigrinzal explains, note we can even take this a little bit clearer, the wording in the Gemara. The wording in the Gemara is, Ein masich masudo shemo yakdim kone leveshet. Because we're afraid that maybe the kone will precede the veshet. Now, the kone is the windpipe, the veshet is the food pipe. Between these two, the kone represents Olam Haba, the veshet represents Olam Hazeh. The veshet is the food pipe, the gashmius. The kone is the sound, the voice, which represents the inner of ruchnius, adav ruchni. The pasuk says, Shemo yakdim kone leveshet. Rav Nachman Shigrinzal says, this means, this refers to this pigam of taking in too much of this makif, trying to absorb a makif which is too high for you. Shemo yakdim kone leveshet means you'll try to draw in a makif for which you have not yet prepared a keli in which to receive it, in a sense. The veshet represents the olam hazeh, the keli, into which to receive the he'ora from olam haba. That this is what could happen if a person talks while he's eating, where this Saras HaRotzen is coming down, the way that you provide a keli for this Saras HaRotzen is by being silent. Your silence provides a keli. If you're talking, you're not providing a keli, this makif could come down and it could be damaging. This is this concept of Shemo Yachdin Kone Leveshet. Any questions?
In other words, how is this bringing in the makif for talking and not talking?
Okay, through a person's physical act, through a yid's following the law in Shulchan Aruch of being quiet at the time of eating, number one, he shows an emuna, a faith, in that this is a time for silence. Why? The answer is, Rabbi Nizal explained here, an additional reason, besides the physical reason, there is an additional reason, because when a Jew is receiving there is a certain very high level of wisdom, which is represented by the term silence. It's represented by this concept of lachash. If a Jew follows this physical halacha of being quiet at the time of eating, that creates a keli into which can be received this level of wisdom that's called shtoik, which is this he'oras haratzayim, which is something that can't even be expressed in words. Right? Rabbi Nathan brings in the first sif of Sikha Saran this concept of I know it's something that can't be expressed. It's like a horas harotzen, you understand? The super high level of desire. So Rabbi Nizal says, by following this halacha of being quiet, that's how you show emuna in that this takes place, and your emuna is obviously what serves as a keli to receive this shefa. By complying with the halacha stated in Shulchan Aruch, that's how you're preparing yourself to receive this super, super horror that the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us comes down at the time of Achil.
So besides, let's say, a person learning or actively saying over the Torah meal, there has to be, or there should be, a certain period of silence.
Definitely, definitely. In other words, there should be this understanding of avoiding talking during the eating itself, during the act of eating, because of the fact that we believe. In other words, you're doing it for a purpose, not to be quiet, not to rest. You're doing it because that's the avodah at that time. You believe that there is this super high level of light, which if you're talking, you're showing that you don't want that light. You only want the light on the level of that which can be spoken about. Whereas if you're quiet, you're showing your faith in that this exists and that you're preparing yourself to receive it.
Is this something to have a specific kavana for?
100%. Anything that's being learned in this sefer is to be applied in practical terms.
This is all true for the Brit Torah also?
Definitely.
You're supposed to have the Brit Torah.
Okay, the answer is during that, we're going to come to that. Well, in this chapter, are we only talking about silence? The answer is definitely not. We talk about two things, right? We spoke about a Rebbe teaching Talmidim, and through teaching, that's what helps them receive the Makifin. So here again, if a person Chas V'Shalom has a meal without Torah spoken, without words of Torah spoken at the meal to his Talmidim, which could be his wife or his children or his guests, he's again not availing himself for this Makifin. Because one of the prerequisites for these Makifin is by you giving out knowledge, you create a vacuum into which Hashem pours in the knowledge. So at a meal, you definitely need both Elamai, the time for talking, is not during the eating, during the actual eating. The time for talking is before or after the eating. The eating is a time when a person should generally try to be quiet. Now here again, Godel Shimusha Shel Torah Yosem Limuda. By watching true Talmidei Chachamim, true Tzadikim, we get to know how this is really practiced. Those that were zeicha to eat in Rebbe Zal's house, you noted that it's not that he never said a word during eating, but there was a refraining, there was a holding back that at the time of eating, better not to talk. Talk before or after a course or something like that. The main talking, eating was a time to be quieter, at least. Baruch Hashem.